Let's bring in our pal, Chris Johnson, TSN Hockey Insider. Chris, first of all, how's it going? It's sunny. It's Friday. Things are good. We always enjoy lunch on Fridays.
Yeah, we always have the standing lunch date, and, you know, it's been a deep freeze week, so I've just kind of been hunkering down.
Oh, same here. I've barely left my apartment. There's no need. Chris, another kind of ugly loss. I say ugly, kind of ugly, because I don't want to be too harsh, but it was a truly ugly loss for Edmonton last night against Florida. You know what? They started well. I think there's some positives that they could take from the game. They had more chances than Florida, but Koskinen let in 6 goals for a 6-0 final. Chris, how much longer can Edmonton go here? Like, you just feel the exasperation just watching them do post-game conferences, just seeing them on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, what a brutal stretch. It's not just 2 wins in 15 games. Like they barely played any games all month because of COVID shutdowns, and I think that makes it worse in a sense because they haven't, you know, been able to work their way out of it. You know, I think last night's game, I mean, it's classic. You're right. You know, 17-7, the shots in the first period in Edmonton's favor, you know, really bring a strong start to that game, and then they see one go in at the other end. And I think, you know, sometimes we lose sight of the kind of confidence or psychological aspect of the game, and the Oilers just have no faith in their goaltending. I mean, I don't know why they would. You know, they're about .880 or even worse than that save percentage during this 15-game run. And so, you know, to me, from afar, there's obviously probably many different problems that you're trying to address, but if they could somehow bring in a goaltender, change the feeling there, I get that whoever they would be acquiring at this point in time isn't, you know, himself going to be a savior, but might be able to come in and make some saves and give the players around him more confidence, because this is a pretty beaten down looking group, you know, and with good reason, because they started the year 16-5 and now they're out of a playoff spot, and you know, it's only mid-January.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, is that the only issue right now for them, is the crease? Like, do you think that alone will be enough to kind of change the pace out in Edmonton? Or are there some deeper issues there, you think?
There's definitely deeper issues. I mean, there's roster construction issues, right? I mean, I think their blue line is a little bit shaky at times. You know, they don't have a lot of depth scoring beyond McDavid and Draisaitl, and they ask a lot of those players. I mean, they you know, the two forwards in the league that play the most of anyone in terms of average ice time per game. And so, you know, I do think it's sort of a multi-pronged issue, but, you know, take 6-0 out of the equation, because that's a one-sided score last night. If you look back over this stretch, I mean, they lost a lot of games like 4-2 while giving up an empty net goal. And I remember even when they played in Toronto, you know, early in the month, that was a tie game with, you know, 10 or 8 minutes left, and the Leafs score a power play goal and then add an empty netter. And you know, the margin, I guess, between the teams was not that vast. And I think, you know, it's something that goaltending itself could at least, you know, give them a little bit more of a chance in the games. You know, let's remember, too, we'll see what happens with Evander Kane and what kind of suspension he might get from the NHL. But if we assume it's not going to be too punitive, you know, I do think he'll likely end up with the Oilers. And you know, that will give them another scoring option, you know, for their top six. It'll push likely Jesse Puljujärvi down to their third line. It'll give them better balance in their lineup. So, you know, I think that there's a few small tweaks that are going to come in the short term. But, you know, Ken Holland's been pretty clear. You know, he's not wanting to fire his head coach, Dave Tippett. He might still get to that point, might feel that something has to be done. Yeah. But, you know, I really think that they're going to try to address it with a couple of player personnel moves. And, you know, to me, it starts with goaltending. I know it's such a simple way to break down a complex problem. You know, hockey's a game of nuance. There's a lot of moving parts within a team. But, you know, if they just got a few more saves in these games, I think it would put them in a better frame of mind to, you know, keep attacking. Because, as you point out, Florida's a really good team, and Edmonton took it to them for the first period. But they lost some of that, you know, as soon as they got down in that game, and they couldn't claw back.
Chris, you mentioned it there. It's easy for everybody to say they need a goalie. But who's a realistic goalie on the market that would make sense for the Oilers? And then in addition to that, how much of this meltdown that we're seeing in Edmonton right now is on Peter Holland not addressing the goaltending in the offseason?
Ken Holland.
Well, management has to.
Sorry, not Peter Holland. Too deep
Peter
into
Holland
Leafs
did
lunch
nothing.
In this moment.
Peter Holland did
We're
nothing.
We're too deep into Leafs lunch.
How dare you besmirch the good name of Peter Holland.
Oh, man, Peter, I'm so sorry.
He's a friend of the show.
Of course. Well, I'll say this. You know, management has to own this. I think that's why changing the coach isn't so easy, because this is clearly back to decisions made in the summer by the management team that have put the team in this circumstance. I mean, it's not to say that Dave Tippett doesn't have to own responsibility. He's ultimately deploying the players every night. He's there trying to make adjustments to get them out of this funk. But, you know, I think the decision to go with Mike Smith again and Mikko Koskinen as your tandem, you know, has really burned them. I mean, Edmonton was in very hard on Darcy Kuemper. You know, he was traded from Arizona to Colorado instead. But the Oilers were right there, you know, at that time trying to acquire him. You know, two summers ago, they nearly got Jacob Markstrom in free agency before he signed in Calgary. So, you know, they've recognized, I think, a deficiency at that position, but ultimately either haven't decided to pull the trigger on a big trade or weren't able to maybe get to the dollars needed to bring in a Markstrom. But, you know, I do think that this does rest at the feet of management. And so, you know, there's not, you know, if they went and got Marc-Andre Fleury a month and a half ago, that might have made sense. Because I think, you know, obviously he still has the potential to be a number one goaltender. He's played really well, actually, in the last month and a bit in Chicago. I think the door's closed on that now. I'm not sure that it makes sense. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury has some say in where he's going to be traded. And so I don't know if that deal is going to happen. You know, you have to look with Edmonton's cap position at players that aren't making too much money. I think someone like Braden Holtby in Dallas makes some sense for the Oilers. You know, they've been linked to Jonas Korpisalo, who's a pending free agent goaltender in Columbus. Again, we're not talking about, you know, players that are going to come in and be bona fide number ones for sure. But, you know, they're guys that have, you know, had lengthy NHL careers, that have had, you know, long stretches, especially in Holtby's case, of course, of being a top flight goaltender and are capable of at least giving them average goaltending. I think, you know, the Oilers with average goaltending since the start of December, this is nowhere near as bad of a stretch as it looks on paper. They've had very, very much below average goaltending for nearly 2 months now, and that's what's got them into this position. And so I think those are some of the names you can look at. But, you know, Ken Holland's got to – I think he has to make a move. I don't see how you can keep rolling out the same two guys. You know, Mike Smith's injured now. You know, Stuart Skinner is a younger goaltender in the Oilers system that you know, I know they like. You know, he's in COVID protocol right now. But presuming he gets out, I mean, maybe he can give you a few starts. He's won actually the two games they've won during this stretch of losing. But, you know, I think they have to find some external help as soon as possible at that position to at least just change the mojo around it. Because, you know, at this point, I mean, Dave Tippett already called out his goaltending 3 weeks ago, right? And nothing's changed. I mean, this has been a pretty glaring hole in the team for some time. And I think that's where the pressure lies in the front office at the moment.
In conversation with Chris Johnson, our TSN hockey insider. Leafs back in action tomorrow night, taking on the New York Islanders. And this is a team that has just one regulation win in their last five, hitting a little bit of a skid, I guess you could call it. But Travis Dermott didn't have a good night the other night against the Rangers. And in the past, he'd been linked to some trade rumors. Do you think that the Leafs could potentially look at moving Dermott here? And would there be interest in him around the league, you think?
Well, I think it's certainly a possibility as we get closer to the deadline. You know, right now being down Hall and Muzzin, you know, I don't think it's certainly anything that's imminent, but you know, early in the season, the Leafs sent a note to the other teams letting them know that Justin Hall and Travis Dermott could be made available by them. You know, I think in both cases, it's a chance to, you know, if they trade them, to shuttle a little bit of money out to give them more flexibility to make other additions. And so, yeah, I, you know, look, Travis Dermott's career probably hasn't gone quite the way he's wanted, or the team, you know, had forecasted. You know, they've given him some chances at times up the lineup. You know, this year he's been more battling for minutes on the third pairing, and you know, there's still some struggles there. And so, you know, I could see him, I could see his time with the organization not extending into next season. I'm just not sure if it'll happen now. You know, he was made available, for example, to Seattle in the expansion draft, and they didn't select him. So you're certainly maybe not trading him at the peak of value, but you know, I think that potentially moving him as part of a trade that brings you back another defenseman, you know, closer to March 21st in the trade deadline, you know, that could be the type of deal we see. You know, I think Hall is another potential option. You know, he had sort of a scratchy first part of the season. I know the Leafs were more encouraged by his recent performance, and now he's gone into COVID protocol, and so he's been out the last couple games. But, you know, I could see one or of those players being moved out, and just as a way to reshuffle kind of the look on the back end. And, you know, it's probably the biggest need or the biggest want the Leafs are going to have as we get closer to that deadline.
Yeah, and I think Thursday's game was a good indication of why a lot of Leaf interested people feel the need to add another defenseman before the trade deadline. Do you think the Leafs are looking for a rental on the blue line with the kind of uncertain cap situation next year, or a player with a little bit more term? And are you hearing any specific names being floated around that would be a good fit for the Maple Leafs?
No, you know, I don't think that they would box themselves into one or the other. I mean, we've seen a couple previous trades, you know, when they got Jake Muzzin, for example. He had the rest of that season and the following season on his deal, and so that wasn't a pure rental trade that was made in the lead-up to the deadline. You know, last year was all rental players the Leafs brought in, and Nick Foligno and David Riddick and others, and, you know, expelled, you know, a lot of draft capital, quite frankly, to do it. I mean, that's one of the issues they have now. I mean, they own their first and second-round pick plus their seventh-rounder this year, but they don't have a ton of draft capital left over because of the moves made last year. And, you know, it didn't really work too well. You know, some of that was beyond the control in the sense that, you know, Foligno was injured for most of his time here. You know, I know he tried to play through it, but he didn't really get a chance. And obviously with them losing in the first round, he just didn't get enough games to make the impact you would have hoped. And so, you know, probably the preference, if you could find it, is a player with a little bit of term on his contract. But you know, that tends to, you know, have a higher acquisition cost. And, you know, I don't know which of those players might be moved this year. I mean, there's a decent level of pending, you know, free agent defensemen from the, you know, higher end offensive players, which I don't think, like John Klingberg, that the Leafs, I don't know that the fit is there, just given that you already have Morgan Rielly playing in particular, but also Rasmus Sandin, who can eat up some power play minutes and the like. You know, you have a Ben Sherratt available in Montreal, more of a physical, bigger guy. You know, we'll see what happens with Anaheim. They're a bit of a question mark, but they have Josh Manson and Hampus Lindholm, both as pending UFAs. And, you know, they're kind of on a do we or don't we moment in terms of are they going to sell at the deadline or not. They've still got 8 weeks to figure that out. And so, you know, I don't think we have a lot of specific names to connect to the Leafs just yet, because the market just hasn't taken shape yet. You know, there's not a clear... I mean, I can say with certainty that Ben Sherratt will be traded. I'm not sure that he's the perfect fit for the Leafs. But there are other teams that, you know, may or may not fall out of the race in these next 2 months, you know, that would, you know, probably give us a better idea of where Toronto's going to go. But knowing Kyle Dubas, knowing how that front office thinks and operates, I don't think they'll approach it with it has to be a rental or it has to be somewhat term. I think that they'll survey all the possibilities and try to make the best decision. And quite honestly, especially if they're moving out a Hall or a Dermott as part of that move, it's probably preferable to try to get a player with at least one more year in his contract beyond this one.
In conversation with TSN Hockey Insider Chris Johnston, CJ, we spoke about the lockdowns in Ontario and Canada potentially being a bit of a disadvantage for the Canadian teams. We spoke on that a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not sure if you heard Justin Falk's comments yesterday. We're going to play them for the audience here who missed them, and then I want to get your thoughts on the other side. So if you have those comments, Chris, all right, let's play it.
Hey, Justin, after Seattle, you're back into Canada. Are you looking forward to doing that? Is that a sign these games you play in Canada that things are kind of getting back to normal?
No, not looking forward to going to Canada one bit, but we'll play some hockey games and get it over with and then come back.
Why aren't you looking forward to it? Because you got a test to come back in?
No, I'm on a holiday. I don't have to test for a long time, so it doesn't bother me. Most of our team's on holiday, I think. I mean, it just seems to be that things are going a little bit differently up there than they are here. And, you know, I like where we're at in this country, so we'll go with that.
So I guess on holiday is code for I've tested positive, so I don't need to test anymore for the next little bit. But what do you make of those comments there, Chris?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, Justin Falk's an American. I'm sure he's far from the only person in the league that holds those views. You know, you're right. The holiday is referring, it's literally referred in the document as a testing holiday, the 90-day window after you've had a positive test. And, you know, we've heard from Carter Hart, you know, Steve Yzerman, at various times has spoken out about, you know, relaxing the testing, which the NHL and the NHLPA made this week the decision to do. And look, I mean, we can't go to a restaurant or bar right now. You know, as much as it is cold and we're talking about hunkering down, I mean, part of that is we don't have that choice to go out and do things. And so, you know, I get to a certain degree why, you know, this is a public health emergency and why those decisions are in place. But, you know, you go to any U.S. city right now, you're not facing those kind of challenges. And, you know, we're 2 years in and I think if you're an American like Justin Falk, who's living in an American city, playing for an American team, largely playing in American road cities, he's probably enjoying having more freedoms. And he's seeing up here, you know, not until February 21st, unless something changes, that we're going to have, you know, another fan basically in the building in Ontario. And so those are not fun games for players to play in. It's a difficult position for the Leafs and Senators to be in particular. I mean, the Senators have 11 home games scheduled between now and February 21st. You know, more than 25% of their home schedule might now have to be played with no fans in the building. I mean, it's tough circumstances. And so, you know, I don't know really what else to say about his comments other than, you know, they're understandable given how he's seeing things from afar and how he's enjoying a more normal looking life right now. And there's lots of players thinking the same thing of all nationalities that are playing in U.S. teams and enjoying, I think, being able to go through their daily lives with, you know, fewer disruptions, I guess, than we have right now here.
Yeah, it's kind of the times we're living in. I guess life isn't fair, and, you know, nothing.
Honestly,
is
a disruption
equal, so.
For me is leaving my house. So it really depends on the perspective.
I guess you're not. I guess perspective is something there.
No, all right, TJ. I wouldn't mind. It's Friday. I wouldn't mind going to meet a friend at a bar. You know,
right?
It's true.
You know, go get some.
I would personally like to do that. I get why we can't, but this kind of stinks. Let's call it a day.
Yeah.
Actually, CJ, are you into this Wordle thing, by the way?
No, I just see it on Twitter, but I literally have not looked into it. I don't know how it works.
Yeah,
me neither.
They
I
were
see
talking
the squares.
About it.
It kind of scares me.
They were talking about it on OD the other day, and someone sent me. There's like a hockey version of it now, where now you can guess like the last name of players who have five-letter last names. So I kind of tested it out today. But the thing I don't like about it is that you can only do one a day. Like, if it was something where I could keep going,
I didn't realize that.
I'm gonna forget about it by tomorrow. I don't know.
Honestly, it looked like something I would get addicted to, and I got enough going on that I've tried not to get addicted to anything else.
Yeah.
You know.
Very true. That's a good point. Well, I'll let you get back to the day and you know, go break some more news there, CJ. Good chatting with you, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, I wish. Look forward to the day we can all meet for a beer after one of these shows. That will be nice. Oh,
absolutely, buddy. All right, enjoy the weekend, pal.
See you guys.
There he goes. Chris Johnson, our TSN hockey insider.